Hello and welcome to the Healthy Herb Podcast, a place of information and inspiration for the home herbalist. I'm Bridget Daugherty of the Solidago School of Herbalism, coming to you from a bridged island on the coast of Maine. In today's show, I'm talking with Julia Lindstedt about herbalism and her current projects. Before we get started, I want you to know what I share is based on my own experience and what I've learned from my mentors. Ultimately, I want you to be empowered in seeking and achieving your own version of optimum health. I want you to be inspired to connect and relate to the common plants that grow all around you. Together, let's make home herbalism be as common in the everyday household as cooking a healthy meal. Now, without further ado, let's have some fun and dig in. Hello, listeners. I am excited to share my first interview on the pod with you today. It's with Julia Lindstedt, and we really get into, you know, living in the moment and working with plants and connecting with the natural world. And it's a really great conversation, so I hope that you enjoy it. I will say that for the first 15 minutes, the sound is not perfect. It's fine, but it's a little garbled at times. And so if you're sensitive to it, feel free to just fast forward through the first 15 minutes. But if it doesn't bother you too much, please go ahead and listen, because we really had some great conversation in that time. All right, and otherwise, sit back, relax, grab a cup of tea, or carry on with whatever project you're working on, and enjoy this interview. Today, I am joined with Julia Lindstedt, who is the creative behind A Farm to Keep, where she shares recipes, projects, and inspiration for her readers to lead a slow, creative, and content life. She resides on a small farm in the hills of Northern California with her husband and two kids. You can learn more about her at A Farm to Keep and by sticking with us, and we're going to have a wonderful conversation today. Hi, Julia. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Bridget. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes. Well, I'd like you, maybe we could start out and you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how your interest in herbalism and working with plants began.
I would be so happy to. Let's see. Well, I'm Julia, and I am the voice behind A Farm to Keep, and I love to share different ways for people to creatively nourish and grow and cook with herbs and plants, and then also helping everyone to kind of slow down and reconnect with themselves and with nature. I have been also a longtime art educator, and so I also feel like I approach my herbalism a lot of the same ways that I would approach teaching anybody art, because I feel like, as I've explored it myself, it's a very similar process. And my path, though, to herbalism is, I was thinking about and going, oh, I realized that I have a core childhood memory of herbs. And it actually is when my father was trying to re-landscape our front yard, because we had a lot of deer in our yard that were coming and eating all of the different landscaping they're putting in. And he decided, you know, out of just because he knew that herbs wouldn't be eaten by the deer, he actually created an herb garden. And that was my first exposure to having a lot of different herbs available. And he created a beautiful path that you could walk on. And I just remember going and being on that path, especially right before school, and picking the little plants and smelling them. And I just can still remember that feeling of being surrounded by the herbs and also the smell of them. And it's just a very core memory for me as a person. And then But my real herbal journey didn't really start, I would say. I mean, where I actually started to really embrace the idea of studying herbs and plants and the power of plants was in 2018. And that was when my husband and daughter were diagnosed with celiac. And so celiac is a immune response to gluten or rye or barley. I think a lot of people get confused and think of it as an allergy, but they don't have an anaphylactic reaction. Their body responds with a lot of inflammation and other symptoms in the GI tract. And once we figured out what it was kind of this no man's land of, well, just don't eat gluten and you'll be fine. And especially for my spouse, it was like he was having a lot of malnutrition issues at that point. And so it was figuring out how to create more nutritionally dense meals. And if you go down that rabbit hole of all those different ways of eating, it actually, a lot of those different methods of nutritional eating lead you to plants and to herbs. And that is where I started realizing that it was a lot of infusions that people were putting into stews, into food. And it was the first time that I realized that I could make a tea and it could help. And so I created in our house, we lovingly call it gut tea. And it is something that we still use when anybody's having issues. And it's just this cold infusion tea of marshmallow root and licorice root, and then a little bit of willow bark and a few other items. And it was such a game changer for how everyone felt and how it allowed the healing to happen so gently. Other ways that they had tried were they were just harsher, and it was difficult for their bodies to really, heal in the process. Whereas the plants and that path has really allowed this very nourishing, healing, and gentle way of being. And so ever since then, I have been kind of obsessed with figuring out what herbs to use for different purposes and how I can incorporate more of it into our life, and just continuing to have that be part of a pillar of really of how we live our life is with a lot of plant help and support. And it's something that I've also found draws us a lot to nature, which I've always loved. And I'm just so happy that we can use herbs in that way. But that is how I think I got really drawn to it and got started with it. And then, of course, once you do that, then you realize, well, I can make my own beauty products. I can make my own laundry detergent. It's just endless. And the artist in me just loves that. It's just so fun. And the process of it is so delightful. And I just can't get enough of it. And being able to gift things to people too, where you're like, I've made this, and it's something you get to not only use, but then feel inside your body and have that experience, is just unlike anything else. It's like feeding somebody a really good meal, right? But it's got the benefits of all of these beautiful properties of these plants. So that is my herb background, I would say.
Nice. That is lovely. I can totally relate to the scent and the smell of herbs as being what like really first called me into herbs. I remember, having a garden with my mom, and she would let me have my own little garden, and then we'd go to the plant nursery, and the only plants I wanted were ones that were green, but they smelled amazing. And I was, yeah. And ever since then, I just, was very drawn in. So I can totally relate to that. And I love that, once we first find, the first time that we're like, oh, wow, like these herbs are like really doing some major healing and help. Then it's like the gateways open and it's just like, oh my gosh, there's no turning back.
It is really startling. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just my reaction to it was, I thought, well, we've tried all these things. Why don't we try this? And to have that work. And I know that that's not the case for everyone, but to know that that's something that I concocted from our kitchen, and to now for us, we always look at it as our first line of defense in a lot of ways against all kinds of, things, colds and things like that. it just feels very empowering as a person. It's just like when you learn to cook and you go, oh, boiling water is not very hard. You know, if I can boil water, I can boil an egg. I can make tea. I can make broth. And these things are nourishing, and they really are the fertilizer of life, and they help you grow. And it's just been something very, I keep using that word empowering, but it is, it's something where you go, oh, I'm capable of doing these things. And it's great to be able to go and get expert help and things when you get stuck or you need something different. But knowing that those things are just living there in your cabinet, like little friends, it's very, very comforting to know that that's there. And I feel like that's been a nice transition where I used to look at I have all my paintbrushes and my art supplies, and I go, and now I have also, you know, in extension of that, I also have all of my dried rosemary and all of these flowers I've dried and gathered. It's a very natural extension to that way of being in the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of artistry that can be incorporated in herbalism, whether it's growing the plants or harvesting, making the remedies, incorporating them into meal planning and food, for sure. So what are some of your favorite ways to tap into your creativity to develop new herbal recipes?
Well, I have a couple different methods I like to use. One, I always turn to the seasons. I feel like that's a very simple way anyone can look for inspiration. It's something that, you know, we humans have been encountering over and over again. And so the seasons, I feel like, are such a safe container to look to for inspiration and guidance as to what's available and what also is going to be coming in or not. And just those visceral memories of the flavors of certain times can also lead you to going, oh, this is a time where maybe I need to add more black pepper to things so that it really helps kind of circulate everything through. Or, more lemon juice feels like it's the right choice for these different options here. But seasons is a wonderful way to draw inspiration. I also like using a method I used to use a lot with my students, which was restricting materials. And so oftentimes you'll give somebody just a paintbrush and a palette of paint and paper and go, okay, but you're only going to use green. Like, we're not going to use the whole, but I feel like you can do the same thing in herbalism where you go, I am just going to use rosemary, but that will be my main plant that I'm going to explore. And that doesn't mean you can't incorporate other ingredients, but that's the one you're going to highlight. And I feel like that can really ignite your creativity in terms of getting to know the plant, getting to kind of push it to its different boundaries and limits, and understanding what is the best way to apply it, and new ways too, that maybe you didn't know it could shine in these different methods. Perhaps you only ever used it in cooking, and then you find out it's a beautiful addition to a tea or a salve of some sort. So I really like that. And then I think my last tip, I would say that I use a lot if I'm really stuck, is I use observation and listening. And so it's another artist technique where you go and you really, but I know herbalists, we do this too, where it's like especially when you're learning, you go and you find one plant, you sit with it and you listen to it and you look at it and you really take in how its stem comes together, how its leaves form, how it all matches and what does it grow next to. And when you start paying attention to those pieces, it can be, you get to have a relationship there, and that is also very inspiring, because then you start to feel like you know what maybe this plant wants to be used for or what it can support you in. And there's just this element to it that can, as you're looking at its actual physical structure, even though, you know, there's all these other elements, but just taking in that space of being quiet and looking at it, I feel like that can be very stirring to a person's soul and interests. And so that you could actually hear what it might come from that. You know, a lot of people do that as they paint landscapes or still lifes. It's the same idea, but really focusing in on a plant, I feel like can be enlightening to a lot of people, especially if they're new to herbalism.
Yeah, my mom is an artist, actually, and she does plein air landscape oil paintings. And she always says that she paints light, you know, instead of actually painting the mountain, the hills, the ocean, she's just paints light. And that reminds me of what you're saying, in that when we relate to the plants and we work with the plants, we are relating to their whole being, or like the spirit or the essence of the plant as well, not only just the physical. If you could go back in time, what three things would you like to tell your younger self that would have made your journey to the plant path smoother? What's some advice that you would give your junior herbalist self, or maybe your even pre-herbalist self?
I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, I think one thing that I would tell myself would be to not only keep a journal, but to really keep them, to really write down all of those things, and to not discard them at any point, but to contain all of those different thoughts and feelings and emotions in those pages. Because when I go back and read the ones I do have, there's always a clarity there that I didn't realize in the time. And it's always something that will then spark a direction, or it'll just lend itself to going, of course this is what you're doing now, because this is exactly what you were toiling with or working through at the time. And so I think it can be a really good reminder if, when you have things like that, you keep a journal, and whether that's also just a plant journal where you're writing down what you find and see and what you're experiencing with those different elements, it can be very helpful to see your growth as a person in that way too, just like a plant, but you know, that can be really useful. And then my other thought was to always say, move your body, because I know that seems like a funny thing to tell an herbalist, but you want to be able to garden and do all these things and crouch down and pick these things for a long period of time. And you don't need to do anything all that intense. It's just moving your body 20 to 30 minutes a day is really helpful to, especially who I am, and being able to go in that path gently and not feel like anything needs to be pressurized. And I feel like that's kind of the messaging. If I told my younger self that, it would apply to a lot of different aspects of my life. And then also it would be to whatever those childhood and teenagehood interests were that I had, and it was that those are actually going to be the most pivotal elements that will provide contentment later in life. That they are really the ones that to pay attention to, especially when you get older and you feel lost, or, you know, things sway and things shift, that those things that brought you a lot of joy will do the same actually when you're older too. And I know that when I really always have liked being in nature, and I've always liked working with plants and being with them, it's like I probably would have started that path a lot sooner if I had reminded myself, like, these are things that you really like. But it's never too late. You can always go back and tap into these things at some point. It's just that those can be really great guiding points on your compass, I think.
Oh, hindsight.
I know. Absolutely. But, you know, knowing those things too, it's like, you also just got to forge ahead. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell me a bit about A Farm to Keep specifically. Like, how did it start? What exactly is it? What's your inspiration behind that?
Absolutely. Well, A Farm to Keep started really because I wanted to keep a journal, an online journal of what I was doing on this property that my husband and I, we dreamed about buying a little homestead for a long time. And probably that was one of the first conversations he and I had when we first met. And it was interesting to hold that little seed of an idea and really work towards it together. And so once we did it, I was like, oh, I'll keep track of what we're doing here. And I was intending to write about, I mean, we have chickens, I have goats, we have all kinds of things that we do. We raise a lot of food. And I don't tend to actually write a lot about that because I found that I became more enamored with the concept and the values behind what brings you to that type of living. And as I started exploring it and sharing it with others, I realized it's something that anyone can achieve. It's just, it's a lifestyle, and it's a choice of how you want to approach your daily life and what you find is important to you. And it, for me, it just happens to be in a homestead fashion. I find that to be fulfilling, for lack of a better word. I really enjoy going out there and doing manual labor in the morning and then and reaping the benefits of like, oh, I grew all this squash and now what do we do with it? But but it became more about what I recognized was I became happier, and then others from our past parts of our life were going, what are you all doing? It's think you seem calmer, just more content. What is going on here? And so as I started digging into it, I realized there is a whole aspect of slow living that exists and what that means. And I think it varies for people, but for me, it's been a way of kind of really figuring out what your values are in life and then intentionally choosing them every day and realizing they are a choice. And you can, and a lot of them we were choosing even when I didn't live in the actual like land. It was just how we decided to approach every day. And but I do feel that is what I'm here doing. And so now I do a lot of different workshops, and I use a lot of the products we grow here to blend different teas and things for different people for different events. And that's really a lot of fun and has a lot of meaning for me and those that I get to work with.
So a farm to keep is, you have a farm, a family farm,
yes.
A homestead. And you have a blog, a website that's a blog that you share your experiences. There's some great recipes. I was checking it out. There's some great recipes and DIY projects and hands-on how to relate and connect. And you do talk a lot and inspire a lot about slow living and how slowing down is essential for people. And why do you think it's so essential for people to learn that? I know you touched on that a little bit, but maybe.
Yeah, I can go into that a little more. Slow living, I mean, it's kind of this a sister to that slow food movement, this idea of really knowing where your food comes from and really enjoying it and being with it in a way. And slow living is like that with life. It's this idea of lingering. And I just love that word. To linger a little longer is just something I feel like we all could do. And it's, you know, you start realizing when none of this gets to go with you. And so you get to take these memories with you as you travel through this path of life. And as you do so, you always know when there are these things that happen where you go, this is actually really important, or this feels very aligned for me, and this is something that I want to remember. And knowing how to keep that memory in your body is a skill, and it actually is something that my dad, I don't remember why he decided to, but it's his concept, and he calls it painting a memory. And when I was a teen, I was sitting out on our deck and it was just this beautiful sunset. And I thought, oh, this is just amazing. I don't really know if I was really seeing it, but he came over and he said, you know, you can keep the sunset for the rest of your life if you just look at it and like identify what's the colors at the top. Okay, think about those, name those colors. What are the colors in the center? What colors are at the base? And what else do you see around it? And so you kind of create a scene and then you close your eyes. And it's, you repaint it in your mind's eye. And then you kind of open your eyes again, make little adjustments, and then hold it there. And you just breathe in and out about three times. This I've added over time. But to this day, I can still recall those that exact sunset. I can, you know, if someone says, think of a sunset, it's the first thing I think of. And I go, that is from many, many years ago, and I can still recall it. And to me, that is slow living. It's just, it doesn't, it's not necessarily everything is slow. It's not necessarily that you're not busy. It's just taking these little moments and holding on to them for just a breath longer so that you get to take them with you. And as you do that, these things become part of who you are and what you get to give back to the world at large. And so a farm to keep for me is reminding people that there are these beautiful moments in life. The process of life is where all of it that you want to have happen is happening. And so when you recognize that, it's an incredible blessing. It's an incredible thing to realize that I'm here washing this vegetable that wherever you got it from, like, hooray, I have this beautiful item that I'm going to be able to cook. And it just brings up a lot of gratitude and contentment. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking for, is how to find, they always are looking for happiness. And I'm always going, look for contentment and enjoy the process. The process is where you're going to find it. And so when I create DIYs or recipes, it's like, here's the end product. But really what I want you to pay attention to is, how are you making it? What are you doing as you're making it? What are you feeling? How does this smell to you? Because that's where you're going to create all of these threads of memories and meaning in your life. And then suddenly, if you're creating a soup, well, that soup then has more to it than I had to feed you because you're hungry, you know, or it's like, well, why would I make a sugar scrub? I can just buy this. It's like, well, the process, though, there's this element of putting it together. And so that's what a farm to keep has become for me in terms of a mission, is helping people to kind of reconnect, and plants and nature and those ways are my modalities. So yeah,
that's that answers lovely. Yeah, that's very, man, I love that painting your moment to create a memory. That's really beautiful. It makes me, and then you'll like have that forever. And I feel like so often some of those memories that we always hold on to are more difficult ones, or times when we wish that we had done something different, or, you know, like, and they'll pop up at the worst times or the most random times. It's like, oh, this is such a great time for me to shame myself over like something that I said 10 years ago, you know?
Oh yeah. That's not the worst. And then that's when you go, wait a minute, but I have this catalog of beautiful things that I've done too. And I think that just shows your humanity. You know, we're a mix of it all.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. That's beautiful. And to be able to pull onto those as well. And, you know, it reminds me a lot of what you're saying of just, you know, movement meditation or meditation, just being in the moment and really savoring the very details of that moment. And that's a great way to release ourselves from anxiety and stress of a moment too, is to just focus in on the present and all feel it, smell it, you know, be it in its wholeness. And that is beautiful.
I mean, that's why I love tea and things, you know, because it does that for you, right? You can put it together and it's like you have all of that happening. Absolutely.
Yeah. And along those lines, so how has the slow living helped you on your herbal path?
It's allowed me to be okay with the things that I don't know yet. Because there's so much. Once you start opening those books and you go, oh my goodness, this world is so vast and I'm just beginning, it can be overwhelming. And then all that self-doubt can come in and going, I'll never know it all. And of course you won't, but you know, but I feel like instead of robbing yourself of and shaming yourself about what you don't know yet, and how could you never have figured this out? But why are you here? And you haven't, you haven't learned that this has value for you, or I don't know. These are just words, but I think that can really help people move towards a path of more compassion. And I think plants really are, because they are slow, you know, they have a process, they have a life cycle. Unlike art supplies that are not living, I mean, I can use a plant in an art project any day, but I mean, when you start tapping into the use of plants and knowing like, well, I can't harvest you yet because it's not a good time to harvest you. It's the same as me as a person. It's like, I have seasons where I can give more than I can in others. And I feel like plants teach, I've learned so much about boundaries and what is possible and when, and that it's okay to winter or to not give a lot right now, that this is not my bountiful season necessarily, but maybe this is my time to restore. And I feel like I learned that a lot with working with plants, and I just really enjoy their rhythm. It just, I find that to be invigorating, even though they are slow. I mean, some of them are not. Some of them spread so fast. You know, you plant one, then you can, well, look at you. You're gigantic. How'd that happen?
No, it's like the whole slow in the minute, and then it's like really fast and in a season, so much happens.
Right. Like I was drowning in oregano for a while. I'm going, I have so much. What am I going to do with all this? Got used. It was fine. But yeah, I feel like that's how it's, I feel like that's how it's kind of partnered with my herbalism path and journey. And knowing that you'll be there when the time is right, or, you know, if you're trying to work with different people or you're using, you know, there's this element of having to kind of just let some of it go and say, it's going to happen eventually. You're tending to it. You know, you're going through it as you can daily or however often. Half of what you have to do in life is just show up. So I feel like that's what herbs do. It's like, well, I'm here. What do you need me to do? And I feel like that's a very good lesson that plants constantly teach us.
What are some of your favorite ways or a favorite way to actually share this herbal process and herbalism in general with other people and with your community at large?
I think one of my favorite ways is when I have been asked to create a custom tea for an event. Whether I did one for an opening of a yoga studio very recently, and it was just so much fun to listen to the yoga studio's the owner, what she was wanting her clients to feel when they had this tea at her opening, and how she wanted the experience to be and how the tea was going to be part of this process. And I really enjoy creating these pieces that are they're going to be part of that memory building and that moment of so you can have that sensory experience that helps you just pause and linger with it. So doing that for her was really special, but doing it for others for their weddings or for baby showers, just so that there is this touch of tenderness and care, has been some of my favorite ways to share herbalism. I think people are often surprised also at what you can use for these different things like teas and different like herbal products. And, you know, I did not know I could use a chrysanthemum. Please don't use a medicinal one, but, you know, but like, yes, they make beautiful tea and things like that, where it's a surprise, or it's like, oh, I didn't know I could use marigolds in that way. Calendula in that way. You know, I think that giving people that little surprise is really fun. And I think that also can spark them to go, oh, there is a lot more here than just these little packets of herbs I can buy at my grocery store. That there's maybe, you know, here's a little peek hole of like, here's this magical realm over here of herbalism. But yeah, creating custom teas has been my favorite thing to do.
Oh, sure. I love that idea. That's so fun.
Yeah.
And definitely is, I mean, tea can be such a meditation unto itself, and a sensory, like the smell and the taste can bring you right back to a moment. So if it was like a wedding blend and you honor, you know, the couple and the moment and the ceremony, and then if it's the gift that they give everyone at the wedding that people can take back, and that's really nice. I like that idea. And you also offer some classes. Do you do online and in person, or just online? And
I do both. I do online and in person. I'm going to be doing a lot of online, I think, for the rest of the winter time, just so that it's more accessible to everyone. I love doing online because I then feel like I get to branch out the audience. I feel like there's a lot of people who are homebound who want to do these different things. And I feel like online also allows a lot of access for people. I think it's so for me, it's a values base for why I choose to do a lot of online activities so that it can be accessible to a lot of people. But I have different herbal classes that are going to be coming up. I'm going to be doing a bath soak blend. That one's actually going to be free just to kind of get people in the spirit of making homemade gifts for the season that's ahead. And then I'll have several others coming that are actually going to be a little bit more art-based, but they are, I feel like they tag into herbalism because we will be using different herbs as part of the projects, but we will be making, I have a whole intentions project we'll be working on that will include different blendings of things. And then we're going to be weaving mantra bowls using different herbs as we weave. And I have a variety of others that they're in the works and I need to get them all published, but they'll be out in 2023 is my plan.
Wow, those sound great. I love combining art and herbs and, you know, fun projects. And so I'm definitely going to be keeping my eyes open for those. I see you have a section on your website for your classes and workshops. Do you also promote them on Instagram, or like, how do people find out about them, or can they sign up for a newsletter? Or
I do promote them on Instagram. I always say join my newsletter. It is the best way for me to be able to reach you and for you to get to see my stuff and not have Instagram choose what you see. You know, be empowered of what you get to view in a lot of ways. But I am on Instagram. I'm at a farm to keep. It's got little periods in there, but I'm sure we will include that maybe in your show notes. But yeah. But if you look up a farm to keep on Instagram, I am on there and I do share about the workshops and different things that I do on that platform. And that's definitely probably my platform of choice, but then also my website, which is afarmtokeep.com. And but yeah, my newsletter, there's lots of opportunities on there to join that.
And you also, I noticed on your website that you do a lot of writing of articles, not only for your blog, but for publications. And I know that you have an upcoming article in the upcoming winter edition of the Botanical Anthology, which is an online publication that's seasonal. Would you like to share a bit about your writing and maybe how you're involved with this specific publication, and what types of things you like to write about, and maybe what you will be offering in this edition of the Botanical Anthology?
Absolutely. Yes. I'm very excited. I have two articles coming up in this edition for winter. I love to make the music playlists for the season. I love music. I don't know. It helps, especially when you're like, everything's like really overwhelming in the space. Putting on some music is an instant way to drop into your body and then be able to I can now calmly make my tea or whatever I need to do. But I love creating seasonal playlists. I feel like they are, it's like making poetry. So I will have one of those in the winter edition. And then I have another article, which is rhythms and routines for winter. And I talk a lot in there about slowing down for winter and turning to the plants and looking to them as your guides for the season and giving checklists. Well, I guess it's a checklist, but not really a to-do, but more of just ideas of what you can do to nourish your body, your home, your garden, and different things like that for the season, and different ideas of how to really embrace the season and the rhythm of the season. And then there is the third article that I'm hoping will be in there. It's exciting. We're putting it all together. So we'll see if it gets into this issue or not, but it'll be a very exciting article to include in the Botanical Anthology moving forward, I hope. But that's all I can say.
Oh, exciting.
A little mystery. You're going to have to have to read it to find out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so have you written for the Botanical Anthology in the previous publications they have that have, they've had two or three so far, or do you know?
I have. Yes, I work. I contribute to the autumn edition and the summer. All of them actually, partly because I am part of the Plant Wonder Collective, which the editor of the Botanical Anthology, she also founded this collective group of plant lovers. And they also share bi-monthly, actually, different ways to explore and use a very specific plant. And it's such a great way for anybody who's, you know, just interested in plants, but then it maybe is just curious and not sure where to start. I feel like the Plant Wonder Collective is a lovely place to go and look and get inspiration and kind of see the variety of how each plant can be used. But yes, I have been a happy contributor to the Botanical Anthology from its inaugural edition. It's a lot of fun.
And the Plant Wonder Collective, that's like an Instagram community of people who kind of share posts about, you know, it's a different plant every month.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. So for the listeners, if you are interested and you're on Instagram, definitely check out Plant Wonder Collective and Botanical Anthology. Does that have its own...
It does. The Botanical Anthology has its own handle, and so does the Plant Wonder Collective. But the Botanical Anthology is a publication produced, I think that's correct, by the Plant Wonder Collective. We call it PWC. PWC will then, they'll share and publish a lot of the Botanical Anthology's content. And that's a great way to keep tabs on the different quarterly magazines they put together. Cool. Digital magazines, rather. Yeah.
Cool. Well, one question I think that I'm going to be asking most people that I interview on the pod is, what is one herbal remedy or even a meal that you like to make or have on hand for the winter months?
You know, I was thinking about this and I thought, I hope this is okay to say, but I love to make bone broth it's probably very, I don't know if that's very typical, but I put a lot of herbs in that. And it's one of the best things that I can have on hand. The moment anybody in my household comes down with a scratchy throat or anything, it's like, here you go. It's been infused with a lot of thyme and oregano and all of these different garlic. It's like just all these different herbs are in here along with all of those other good nutrients. And so I feel like that is something that we have on hand that I produce a lot of here on our little homestead. And so I'm always so happy. I go, oh, yep, this is what we've got. So that's my go-to. For sure. And then next would be tea.
Yeah. Well, I love the broth because it's both a food and an herbal remedy, especially if you're loading it. So what are you said thyme and oregano? What else do you like to put in it?
I'll put some rosemary in it for sure. And then let's see, what else have I stuck in there? It's whatever's growing in my garden. But like last time I even put in some calendula and stuff like that because I was like, well, we'll just make those little herb bundles and then put that in there to let it simmer. And we had foraged some bay leaves a while ago, and that was really fun to actually have stuff in there that was from that. And but I also will put even things like cloves, I'll put in there. It's just because to give it that and a little bit of nutmeg. That's always my favorite little touch. I feel like that gives it this rounded flavor that otherwise it can be too acidic, but that nutmeg is just this little dash of something. But those are some of my favorite herbs to include in there. Yeah. That's... Plus a lot of garlic.
Yeah. There you go. And do you put onions in or?
Oh yes. Onions. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I'm always like, I feel like an onion to me is always like, you're your own thing. I just... I'm always so grateful for the onion.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of onion. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little lemon peel sometimes just to give it. Mm-hmm. But nice. Every time it's a little different depending on what's available.
Yeah. And then do you freeze it or do you just kind of make it up as needed, or?
I freeze it. I use these. This is like my favorite device. I am not sponsored by them at all, but I wish I would be. But this, I don't know if you've seen these soup cuber things, the soup cubes. It's like a giant. They have different sizes, but they have a giant one that's for broth, and it's just great that you fill them up, and they are just one cup, and so then you can pop them out like an ice cube tray, and then store them very easily, and you're not worrying about, you know, putting them into jars or filling bags or something. It's just, they're like big ice cubes, and that it's like my favorite way to store that. And it's so, if someone is sick or if you're sick, you just go in there, you immediately grab a block of it and stick it in on the stove. And then within minutes, you're like, I have hot, fresh broth, and it's really good.
That sounds great. That's a great tip. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, and so the best place to find you is at your website and Instagram, like we said. So I hope that this has been an inspiring interview for the listeners, and that you're ready to go out there and slow down and connect with the plants on their speed and connect with yourself in so doing. So thank you for all of your inspiration and wisdom. And I'll tell the listeners to look for the Botanical Anthology Winter Editions coming out December 5th, or that week of December 5th. Mm-hmm. And so keep your eyes peeled for that. And do you have any final thoughts or any last words for the listening audience before we part ways?
I would just like to say thank you so much for this opportunity to share my love of plants and herbalism, and I hope everyone will go out there and find a plant to sit with for a while and see what they get from it. You know, go find a little sit spot and enjoy a plant today.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here, Julia. And thank you so much, listeners, for tuning in and listening. I'm Bridget Daugherty, joined by Julia Lindstedt of A Farm to Keep. Until next week, be well, let intuition guide you, and have fun with herbs.